Hello, welcome to the podcast of Startup Recruitment Failures. I'm Indra, founder and CEO of Jobrely. We're building outbound recruitment SaaS. And today my guest is Danielos Stasiulis, co-founder and CEO at The Degree. Hi, Danielos.
Hello, pleased to be here.
Thank you. And first of all, I would like to congratulate The Degree on $1 million investment. The investment is led by Taizo's son, the younger brother of Masayoshi's son of SoftBank, right?
Yes, indeed. But, you know, he's not only a younger brother, but he became an independently wealthy billionaire from a gaming company that he founded. So, you know, those brothers can do a lot.
Awesome. Are you planning to expand to Asia?
Yes, indeed. With such backing by prominent business figures from Japan and wider region, it is really logical for us to try to enter those markets. So we are actively investigating what do we need to do in order to enter those markets. And, you know, there are really huge differences sometimes, you know, into how the web is working there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm very glad to hear about this. And since this is a Startup Recruitment Failures podcast, could you share your recruitment failures with us?
Sure. I have quite a few.
Okay.
And I'm still learning, because I have done a lot of hiring myself. So quite a baggage on my side.
Okay. So what would be the most memorable one?
I would, consider the most painful one.
Okay.
Was that I was recruiting for a senior technical lead, and I was actually even on paternity leave when I was doing that or approaching paternity leave. So the time was really pressuring
me.
It was difficult. And I think I found the candidate, and we have a agreed with the candidate that he would be employed. He was really happy, and essentially I was waiting for him to come. And then, when the date came closer to him coming, to the office already, I was started wondering why the contract is not signed yet, and I was pushing him like, yeah. And I was getting some weird excuses and, eventually agreed to meet with the guy. And the guy did not arrive to the meeting, sent me a message saying that, oh, he and his wife, decided that we are a bad fit. So this is how I wasted, 2 or 3 months in recruitment and discarded the other potential candidates. So that wasn't pleasant.
Well, I can imagine. So you say 2-3 months. Looking back to all the whole situation, could you have noticed this earlier and don't waste your time? Could you have done something different, or maybe even to hire that person if you would have done something different?
I think I was trying to be lucky and spend less time in the recruitment. And I felt that something isn't clear to me with the candidate. I felt it viscerally, but did not spend time to investigate that. Also, I think it is really important to maybe send the contract immediately after you get the verbal approval and that the person is coming. So actually, that guy left his job, so that's why I was excited that he's coming. But then he did not come to us, and he chose a bigger company, more reputable.
Okay.
And ditched the young startup.
Okay, that's really sad. Sorry to hear that, but I believe this really happens to most of the small startups, so the competition is huge in the market.
Yeah, indeed. Over the last year, that wasn't the only case. I would say maybe even one out of five people do not come eventually.
Okay.
Even though they accept the offer.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a huge percentage. Do you have any situation when you hired and failed by making this decision?
We had a few, where people were wrong fits for the job. One was in marketing, and we had a foreigner, and there's always a risk with foreigner because there are cultural differences. And we ended up miscommunicating, and although in conversations it seemed that we agreed on things and that the person understands, but eventually he would under deliver consistently, and we could not understand why. And you don't want to let the person go if you don't understand why they are failing. But eventually we understood that it's just a cultural difference, and we had to say goodbye, you know, at the end.
But by cultural difference, what do you mean? What was that so different in your communication and making the agreement?
Well, even when you mention agreement, you know, this could be a different process and outcome in different cultures. You know, in some cultures, you cannot lose face, so you always say yes. And other cultures, they're really direct, for example, the Dutch, you know, straight to your face. There are such differences, and when you're communicating with people who do not have vetted, rich, international work experience, you're bound to have such situations that maybe due to how the person was brought up, you know, in general in his society, might affect how he's communicating with you and what is normal. And maybe sometimes not saying that you don't understand what you're doing is normal because you cannot show your weakness, but that costs for company at the end.
But when you notice that, I believe that you tried to solve the situation somehow. Did you try to do something about it?
Indeed, we had a couple of months that we tried to rectify the situation, but eventually it just became an anecdote that all the office understood what is happening, and although we had all the best intentions. But if working with that person becomes an anecdote to everyone, you know, you cannot live with that.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine that it's sometimes you cannot solve. And if the person especially is not motivated to do that, so you just have to let the person go. Do you have, when talking about letting people go, do you have some procedures? Do you have experience with that? How do you deal with that? Because this is, well, if you're a small team, it's pretty unfavorable situation to be at.
I must confess that we don't even have an HR person, and we rather do all the hiring and firing by founders or team leads. We believe that, you know, the team leads should be able to find the people that could help them. Of course, there's a huge time cost involved in that. But I believe that in this way, we can find faster people that match the skill set, that the team lead or the founder is searching for. So in terms of firing, we have had quite a few unpleasant ones. We had some very, you know, pleasant ones. And from the unpleasant ones, you know, the worst case is when a person does not understand what is happening. You know, you're trying to let the person go, and they're just shocked. You know, they don't understand how this has happened, you know, why it's happening. And sometimes, you know, they either weren't that they're underperforming, etc., but they still do not grasp it. So, you know, my heart is breaking every time when we have to do that, because, you know, maybe like they are good people, but in different context, in different company. So, yeah, the firing procedure is usually quick and direct. And based on my experience, it's better to say goodbye faster than later, because sometimes when you agree that the person will leave, like in 20 days, which is normal now, their motivation goes down a lot, and they also impact other employees quite heavily. And we even got ourselves into like similar death spiral in our team quite recently, when a lot of people who do not believe in cryptocurrencies, blockchain, Web3 were leaving. And, you know, every time that a person was leaving, we were throwing out, you know, some drinks, you know, and bye-bye speeches, etc. But it became like a ritual that almost every Friday for a while we were saying those speeches. And, you know, people were depressed a bit. But once all the people who do not believe in that have left, the mood started improving. So my takeaway from that is that those people who wanted to leave, they knew that we want to leave, and we should have spotted that early. And maybe have done, you know, a mass, you know, saying goodbye.
So it was like one person said that I don't believe in crypto. You're changing this and I'm not feeling like I'm a team member anymore. And more people follow that person and only because of crypto or, I don't know, where there's some other matters.
Well, it's in general, you know, disagreement with the direction that a company was taking, you know, and in general, mm-hmm. you know, as a company leader, I have to assess, you know, what resources we have, what strengths we have, you know, what opportunities are in front of us and, you know, make the best decision, you know, where to go. Mm-hmm. And we made the decision that we are going for crypto education. Mm-hmm. And some people dislike that, you know, because they might have something against crypto. And by the way, it's strange, you know, crypto, you know, blockchain is a technology. Crypto is just a market and somehow people can have negative feelings towards technology or the market. So that's, you know, human psyche. So once those people started to disagree with the company's direction, slowly they were raising dissent in the team and, you know, then leaving one by one and actually influencing others to make a similar decision. Mm-hmm. So we had quite a few people leave our team. It's really a shame, you know, because they were good people, mm-hmm. but fundamentally we could not agree that their dissent against, you know, the direction that we have taken. And sadly, we had to say goodbye.
Were those people from the same department or from different departments and yes, different kind of spheres?
They were like working together more or less. So they were closely working together. So the entire team has more or less left.
Okay.
Slowly, which was painful.
Yeah, but yeah, this is interesting. Why so slow? Why not to stand up and all together, if you're a team, to say that, well, as a team, we're against that. Maybe you could impact some, you know, I don't know, to motivate them somehow, or at least to say to all of them goodbye at once, then it's, you know, way easier. So it's pretty strange why to wait.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake both on my side and those people's side, mm-hmm. because neither of us have realized how serious the situation mm-hmm. is. And then it just spread, you know. It's what ideas do, you know. They once we plant, then they start growing and spreading and eventually it's all covered.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I totally agree that if you notice that, well, you're really not a match. So as faster you say goodbye, as easier it's for both of you and for other people surrounding you. So yeah, it's a pretty terrible situation. So how many people did leave?
I think it was close to 10 eventually.
And how many people are in total at Bitdegree?
So now it's around 40 again.
Okay. And do you feel like, do you regret this? If you know that this would happen, would you still change the company's direction to crypto education?
Yes, I would. And I would do it sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And faster. I think in today's, you know, startup culture, we have pretty flat company culture. And in that company culture, everyone has a say. And people wanted more, you know, soft things, more clear direction, etc. And as the management, we took initiative to deliver those things to the people. However, it seems to us that this wasn't what they wanted or needed. And simply because now when we see where those people went, you know, they actually went to quite rigid institutions in some cases where there is no flat company culture. You know, there is mm-hmm. like, you know, a very clear structure of responsibility and KPIs, and you know, your voice is not heard often in such organizations. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's shocking. You know, it seems that we try to please the employees, given that we have this flat company culture, and they wanted a strong hand instead. And I guess this is also, again, my mistake, because an average employee cannot have a say in company's direction. Mm-hmm. You know, they do not have all the details. They do not understand, you know, all the pressures and opportunities. So when you open up and give the power to employees, sometimes they do not know what to do with this power mm-hmm. because it's overwhelming to them, and they start making wrong decisions. And in this case, we might have had this situation where, you know, they have disagreed with company's direction, but it wasn't up to them to decide where the company was going. Although we included them in the decision-making process, we even, launched additional direction, but that did not help with the dissent in general against the company's direction. So essentially, they became powerful as well. And if their views on company's direction clashed, they felt that they need to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, in a traditional company where there's, you know, tough control from the top, there wouldn't be such a discussion at all, you know.
Yeah.
And they would accept it maybe easier. So flat culture, not for all the companies, you know, that's my conclusion. Mm-hmm. I guess you can have flat culture with people that you work with for quite a few years together, and they're senior, you understand each other. But with others, I would say you have to earn your right to have a say. Mm-hmm. And giving a say to everyone is a bad idea from my experience.
Are you changing your company's culture now?
I think it has naturally changed, mm-hmm. but not in a way that, you know, now we are more strict. It's still a flat culture, but we have a very clear direction. And we are actually hiring people based on that direction, you know. So if you're against, you know, Web3, blockchain, crypto, mm-hmm. you know, you cannot work in our company. You know, you have to be at least interested in it, you know, and at best excited and, you know, and really a power user of it. Because then, you know, everything that we do actually helps you learn, and you're excited on your journey, you know, both as a professional, in mastering your skills, and also exploring the field that we are in. So I think that has changed, but also we are increasing the control, I would say, and we are trying to increase the management level.
Okay, but did that team, which left eventually, were against in the very beginning and were saying that they are against crypto, and you just didn't listen to them and still moved to that direction and they left? Or they didn't know about it? Because you said that they had a saying, but it seems that they said and you just didn't listen, right?
It was both. They said some things and did not say other things. Mm-hmm. And then they discussed something between themselves as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is the worst situation. And a few of those people were quite senior in our company. You know, they spent a lot of time mm-hmm. and they have earned the right to have a say. And I really have listened to them mm-hmm. and tried to accommodate their vision of what the company should do and foster their ideas. However, this total refutal of the direction, you know, towards crypto was not the thing that we wanted to hear from them, and we could not live with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm just thinking, because it's, you know, 10 people leave because they are against crypto. This is pretty strange. There should be something else, you know. Maybe some of them felt, you know, not listened, and actually they never needed that. But as they saw that they're not being listened, they just felt somehow differently. And of course, it was not the way they wanted it to be. But yeah, again, I'm just wondering whether it was only crypto matter.
I think not. I think that there were quite a few other things. First of all, you know, we are just out from, you know, 2 years of lockdowns during COVID. You know, mm-hmm. COVID really affected people. Many of those people were working before in the company, and then, you know, you lost touch with your colleagues, you're alone in your apartment, mm-hmm. you know, it's dark and rainy and snowy, and I think that affected the mental well-being as well. Mm-hmm. People also took less vacation. That's another factor.
Yeah.
And then the war has started.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think I saw some unprecedented things that people are doing with their careers. Choosing to discontinue their career, you know, like resigning from a career. You know, there was a case with one programmer who decided that he doesn't want to be a programmer anymore. Mm-hmm. There was a person who decided that he wants to be a programmer as well, you know, like radical changes. People were doing radical changes. And I'm talking over a span, you know, of the last 8 months, you know, this change has happened. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, you know, in 1 month or quickly, but it was happening gradually. Mm-hmm. I think people were tired. We didn't have as much time together in the office. I think that has really influenced a lot.
I noticed that too. And but for me, it's still very interesting because, you know, one thing, COVID, yes, of course, maybe you got bored and you think that you have to make radical changes to get interested again. But when you think about the war situation, then I assume that people will be, you know, willing to stay at the current jobs because everything is like everyone is so afraid about everything, about the war, about the economic situation and so on. And they still don't bother to leave their job, the revenues they used to get, you know, to gain all the time. And it's a safe way, you know, to stay. So for me, it's very interesting. Why do you think this is happening? Like, it's so unsafe and you choose to be in even more difficult situation without any job.
I think people were pushed towards fatalism, you know, like mm-hmm. they're going into the fire, you know, and they don't care anymore because, you know, over the last couple of years, we had so many scares, you know, and, you know, COVID, etc. Mm-hmm. It has not only desensitized people, mm-hmm. it has, you know, really moved them out of their control zones. And now they don't care anymore. And if you look at the job leave rates in the US as well, mm-hmm. there's this thing that we call the Great Resignation.
Yeah.
You know, people just leave. And we are also standing on some good 13 years of growth. So people have built up, you know, fortunes, even small ones, and maybe they feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And also, there are still plenty of good job opportunities. You know, there's lack of talent in the market, so maybe they feel more comfortable. But in general, I think this is like the sign of great resignation. Mm-hmm. That people want to change their life, they want to look for the meaning, and, you know, the safety does not matter for them anymore because they're feeling completely unsafe, you know, mm-hmm. due to COVID and other things.
But don't you think this is only an illusion to look for a better meaning? It's just like, I think it's a more like psychological state of mind instead of like actually look for better opportunities somewhere outside and so radically changing your job. It's not real, right?
I agree with you. I think that is a mental well-being problem. And mm-hmm. These decisions are irrational, really, you know, in other times.
So what to do? How to deal with that, with your like current employees and for other startup founders who still have some people and you see that, you know, the well-being is really decreasing and people started getting like more and more people having some psychological problems. What to do?
Well, there are two ways of solving that problem. One is to desensitize yourself from that and your organization mm-hmm. and be more strict. And I would call it going more professional, mm-hmm. you know, and if you do not meet the professional standards that our organization operates with, you know, that's it. It's done. You know, no hard feelings. We just can't work anymore together. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you know, it's of course to go all in and to embrace those people and help them to find the meaning in their jobs. But that's much more difficult.
And maybe even impossible because you cannot change people's mind, right? You can maybe somehow motivate to invest a lot of time and energy and they still behave as they decide to behave and don't even think about you because you're only the employer.
Indeed. And we do not have that many senior people to do that kind of coaching for all the people, you know, so we naturally must recognize that we can only do this for certain people and not everyone can be saved.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember from the 10 years ago, you know, because I was working in management consulting, mm-hmm. and I think it was from McKinsey, that only 1 out of 4 of such cases can be saved mm-hmm. based on their data.
Yeah.
You must accept that we won't save many.
So what is the key takeaway, like how to accept all these unfavorable, let's say, situations, like you're hiring and you didn't manage to hire because the person at the very end changed their mind. Then people are starting behave like very strange and you cannot influence them at all. So how to stay strong and still be optimistic? How to continue?
I can't say that it's easy on the management, you know. Now I understand, you know, why it's hard to be a founder, because I previously worked with excellent people on you know, projects, but I didn't have the ultimate responsibility to do anything. Mm-hmm. Now I understand that, for example, if I do not step up and do something, it's done. You know, the company, it's done. I have no other option myself, which also creates pressure on me and my mental well-being. And but for me, it is important to achieve what I have set out to achieve. You know, I want to see Bidegree succeed. I want to see Learnovers succeed. And, you know, that is my core driver. And then I have to do whatever I have to do in order to make this happen. And even if, you know, like more people leave, I will just come back and try to fix it. Of course, you know, I'd like to have bigger team, you know, bigger management team to help me cope with that.
Yeah.
But here is the constraint, you know, budgets that you have, you know, you cannot afford the luxury. So I think it's up to the founders to be founders in the difficult times that we are facing right now. And if you are not committed to do what we say you have to do as a founder, you know, work 24/7, commit anything, then likely discontinue that stuff early, because it really will challenge you a lot. And on my side, you know, I'm also an ultra runner in my recent past. So I think the same mindset applies. It really matters to see the end goal and then know that you're progressing towards it, but it won't be easy. You just have to accept that.
Yeah. I love hearing that, because of course it's hard truth, but this is the only truth. It's like, you know, to be a founder, it's a hard path. And if you're keen on achieving something, so you have to don't care about most of the things and don't take it personally and just don't forget your aim and continue achieving it. And that's it. There's no other ways, basically. So thank you so much, Danielius, for your time and sharing your stories and insights.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the listeners. For more podcasts, please visit jobrely.com.